Make yourselves comfortable.
That's right. Pull up a chair.
Oh, pull up. I must.
What's going on, sports fans, and welcome back to another edition of Insights from the Locker Room. I'm your host, Derek Bone Crusher Dennis, back in the building. We got some things to talk about today, I guess. It's been a crazy couple weeks. Sorry for the hiatus. Again, you know me, quality over quantity. I'm not going to keep dropping these every week, but every time I drop an episode, I'm going to try to get you something to listen to. I'm not going to make this one too long. It's a lot going on right now in the world. A lot to talk about, especially in the sports world, because, I mean, if hopefully you've not been under a rock. If you have, I feel sorry for you. But if not, it's a lot going on. A lot of postponements. Let me not say postponements. A lot of boycotting going on in the sports world between the NBA, the NHL now. Good for them. Clap, gentlemen. I'm glad they finally got on board. NHL, MLB, and NFL has been, you know, not practicing. They don't seem like they're going to make it to not playing games because the NFL needs that cheddar. But, I mean, everybody's trying to do their part to keep the conversation going. And that's just the reality of the sports world right now. We're still in a pandemic. But sports is trying to get things going, but they're also trying to keep the conversation. So I applaud the gentlemen, the men, the women. WNBA as well. I'm sorry. I don't mean to forget the WNBA. Sorry, ladies. But they've been proud. They've been setting the precedent for a long time. Shout out to the WNBA. If you don't watch it, I mean, you don't know what you're missing, man. Those are some bona fide athletes. Those women put in a lot of pain, a lot of work, just as much as men do. And it's a great product. Don't get me wrong. I've been to a couple WNBA games. I've seen women play tons of sports, even football. Women are probably more... what's the word I'm looking for? They're more savages when it comes to competition than men. I don't know what it is about women. I don't know what it is, but women seem when they're in their competitive spirit, boy, do they get after it. So, yeah, shout out to the ladies because they've been setting the tone. Maya Moore, shout out to Maya Moore. Maya Moore's probably been setting the tone longer than anybody, and she's pretty much sacrificed her WNBA career to try to help with, you know, police reform and justice reform and trying to help, you know, get, you know, wrongly convicted men out of their sentences. Because that's, I mean, it's a reality of being a black man in this world, man. There's a lot of chips stacked up against us and it's very hard to beat the odds. There are some who do, but it's not as much as it should be. And that's what a lot of this stuff is derived from. We're just trying to get our equal share of the pie of a place that we pretty much have been there from the jump, just like everyone else. I mean, if you want to be real, the only people who've been in America longer than anybody is Native Americans. Pretty much got I don't even know what to say. I don't want to get too crazy, but yeah, man, shout out to, you know, indigenous people and Native Americans, because they've been here on this continent longer than anybody else has. So everybody else is here, pretty much here, just kind of invading on their space. But, I mean, that's another topic for another day. But to keep it on the theme, Black Lives Matter. I had a lot to say, but I really don't want to say it because, honestly, yeah, getting the message out is important and talking about it is important. But I'm in a state of mind where I'm tired, man, and I'm hurt. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of living it. And it hurts me even more because I have a young child. I have a young black boy that I have to raise. And I don't know if I want this. I don't want that life for him. But the only thing I can do as a parent is try to prepare him as best I can and try to keep him safe. Try to keep him smart, keep him moving strategically, moving intelligently so that he doesn't find himself in situations. But it's very sad that we have to raise our children that way. I'm not saying that doing that right now, it's the right thing to keep our kids alive, because as a parent, that's the only thing I want more than anything, is to keep my child alive, healthy, and thriving in the world. But for me to say that it doesn't hurt me to see all the stuff that's going on, knowing that my kid's gonna have to grow up in this world, knowing that he's gonna have to deal with a lot of the things that I dealt with growing up, yeah, it hurts, man. Especially when you're a large black man. You get it. You get it tenfold, because again, people are going to stereotype you. People are going to pigeonhole you. I mean, people look at me and automatically assume I have to be an athlete. You know, they don't give me the benefit of the doubt of being anything else. I can't be a doctor. I can't be a lawyer. I actually made that. To be honest, that's kind of something that I do. I used to do a lot when I would go out. And people randomly just walk up on me and be like, oh, you know, grab my arm and kind of feel it up and go, oh, you must play football. I go, no, I'm a doctor. I'm like, oh, well, you're wasting this size. Why are you not playing a sport? Why is it that I'm a big black male and I have to play a sport? I don't see anybody walking up to big white boys and screaming, squeezing their arm and telling them how amazing they look and how big and beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never seen that happen to a white boy. I only see it happen to men of color, because everybody assumes that if you're a big black guy, then you're an athlete, especially if you're somewhere that requires you to have a little bit of change to be in, you know, a store, you know what I'm saying, walking a Gucci store, walking, you know, a name brand store, or walk into, you know, jewelry, and then they just automatically assume, like, oh, it's an athlete. If he's not an athlete, he's a rapper. So two things we always get pigeonholed at. So I'm a firm believer, and especially in raising my kid, I don't want to pigeonhole him to think he has to play sports. I don't want to pigeonhole him to think, you know, he has to do anything that people already pigeonhole us to do. I want my son to be anything he wanted to be. I mean, if he ends up being 6'8", 330, but he tells me he wants to be a computer scientist, then by God, I'm going to find a way to help him be the best computer scientist he can be. I'm not going to pigeonhole him into doing anything because people look at him and assume like, oh, you're wasting the size, you're wasting this, you're wasting that. No, listen, you can be anything you want to be. You know what I'm saying? It's like my man Nas said, I know I can be what I want to be. That's how the song goes. So, yeah, but I don't want to get too long-winded. I'm going to get into this episode. I got a chance to sit down with Montrezl Alouette quarterback, my boy Vernon Adams. He started up a little firestorm on Twitter about, you know, ranking CFL players by position. He's mainly been keeping it on the defensive side. I'm going to try to get him to do offense as well. But he's mainly been keeping it on the defensive side because those are the guys he go against a lot. And just trying to put out some content, man. You know, CFL season's being canceled. That's been a hard pill for everybody to swallow. And it's, like I said, pandemic. Pandemic's making things tough. And, you know, so the social climate of the world is making things even tougher. So, yeah, me and VA sat down. This episode, we're going to talk about defensive tackles. I got a little bit of knowledge into that position as well. We did defensive ends online, so we figured we'd keep it going on the podcast and talk about defensive tackles. So, yeah, me and VA is going to talk about our top 7 D tackles. And, yeah, that's what this episode is going to be about. We're going to go from there. Hope you guys, again, keep paying attention to the conversation. Keep listening to what's going on out there. Keep trying to inform yourself if you're not informed, and if you are informed, just keep trying to you know, create conversation that's going to create some change. All of us may want to do something, but all of us can't do something. It's reality. The people who have the power to do stuff, they need to do stuff, and the people who don't have the power need to try to help do their part in getting the message across so that the people who do have the power to change things do change things. So yeah, let's keep the conversation going. I'm always saying Black Lives Matter, and that doesn't mean that anybody else's life doesn't matter. But right now, Black lives are undervalued at a gross rate that's just unfair. And that's not saying anybody else doesn't deal with injustices and doesn't deal with unfairness. And everybody has their own story to things, but it's just the abundance of seeing Black lives being crucified, shattered, taken, and just, you know, kind of, in a sense, trying to normalize it to the masses is just, it's unreal. And I don't think that as black people, we should be pigeonholed into being athletes or rappers in order to make it out of our communities who may be impoverished or, you know, underprivileged or whatever word that you want to use to describe it. The hood, the ghetto, whatever word you want to use to understand the scenarios. If you've never been there, you don't know what it's like. But trust when I tell you, man, there's a lot of unearthed diamonds in those impoverished and underprivileged areas that don't get a chance to shine because they just don't have the resources. And that comes from a long history of racial bias, you know, redlining, if you've never heard of it. That's part of the reason why there are hoods and ghettos and whatever the hell you want to call it. So, yeah, but just again, let's get into the episode. Next segment, sit down with my boy VA, and we're going to talk about a little bit of football, and we'll go from there. So enjoy the episode.
Mama, there goes that man. What?
Montreal, all the way quarterback, Vernon Adams, the 2019 CFL All-Star, big-time college player as well, two-time Big Sky Offensive Player of the Year, two-time team Big Sky, and University of Oregon, great quarterback. VA, what's going on, my brother?
What up, D? Man, appreciate you having me, bro. Thank you, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you hitting me up. I mean, we started a little turmoil on Twitter the other day, you know, ranking players to pass the time of what's going on with the CFL. But I wanted to start off, I'm going to start the interview with that. Let me just see where your mindset is at right now and what's going on in the current state of CFL and how you feeling about going up and playing the 2020 season.
Right. You know, we've been, everybody's been seeing everything on Twitter, you know, back and forth. We got this, oh, maybe this, maybe not, maybe this, you know. And it's just, it's frustrating, but it's exciting at the same time, you know, optimism, just all that, you know, we all want a season if it's fair and healthy, you know what I'm saying, for everybody. And that's the biggest thing, you know, get out there, having fun again, providing for our families. But like I said, from first and foremost, just fair and healthy for us. And, you know, so all we could do is just sit around and really just see what's going on, man, just like everybody else. It's tough though, because you know, everything it just seems like it's taking forever, but all we could do is really just sit here and see what's going on.
Yeah, so let me piggyback off that a little bit and ask you, so if there is a 2020 season and the supposed out there in the media is six games, what are your thoughts on the Montreal Alouettes' chances of successfully completing, you know, a six game season and actually coming out with a break?
Right. I'm really confident in our team this year, man. I was confident going into this year just because we brought back so many of the core guys and kept the team together for the most part, especially on offense. You know, the chemistry is there. Had a couple mini camps this offseason with the offense, and just being with Kahari for going on my third year now, getting his offense down, some of these other players and receivers and linemen or been in his offense 2-3 years as well. You know, we're just getting better and better each year. And you saw it last year where we finally took that step towards our greatness, towards our journey. So, you know, right. We just got to keep going with that and keep going.
Yeah, man, I was definitely a fan of you guys, except for when we played y'all.
Yes, sir. Sweet, sweet.
I'm not gonna lie though. Those two games we played y'all last season was some exciting football games. I'm not gonna lie, they were very tough, man. You guys were a great team. You had a stud defense full of studs, and offense, man, was you know, a lot of people didn't know a lot of your receivers, but you know, with you back there, and you know what you could do with the football in your hands and with your feet, man. It was exciting to watch on TV. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah, man. Thanks, man. It was fun, man. That defense, man, Coach Slow. You know, he came in his first year and defensive coordinator, and you know, started slow, but he started to pick up the game. So I'm excited for him to come into his second year as well with Enoch leading the guys, John Bowman, Siante Evans. Those guys are leaders.
Yeah, you know what? That's I'm happy you mentioned that, because that was something big. Because I know before when Sherman was there, man, that was my biggest knock on your team, was that you guys had American coaches, probably wasn't gonna have struggled to adjust to the Canadian game, because that's what a lot of people who know you've been playing American football for a long time. It's hard to adjust. The Canadian game gives you, you know, different announced that you're not accustomed to if you've been doing it a certain way, or at least what we deem as traditional. So I thought your defense did, especially towards the latter part of the year, you guys started playing well, man. So I'm excited to see, you know, what you got, especially what you do, because I called it out last offseason when you came up. So I told people you was gonna go out there and light them up. So you know what I'm saying, especially after our time together in 17 and Sash, I already knew what type of quarterback. But so to see the progression, to see where you at now, you can finally get in the big contract and all that, man. I'm happy for you, dog. You worked your ass off for it.
Man, appreciate that, bro. It all it took was some growth, man. Just learning from KG, Jeremiah Masoli, guys I had to sit behind, Terry and Durant, you know what I'm saying? Just watching them do, seeing how they do it, you know the saying, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard, you know? And that's what it was for me. I'm a very talented quarterback coming out of college and stuff. But I just, you gotta be able to do more. You gotta be able to do more than just show off your talent. You gotta put in the work, you gotta study, you gotta know the defensive, the middle linebackers' tendencies, the corners' tendencies. Like, you gotta know all these things that in college and high school, you don't really think it's that important because you're just out there just balling. But when you get to the pros, it's not about how much weight you can lift, how fast you are. None of that is. It's about winning your one-on-one, just mentally, just beating your guy in front of you. And that's just what I had to learn to do. Just
You want to sit here with that? You want to be quiet? All right, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off. I forgot where we left off.
No, yeah, that was it, really. Just saying, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just had to, for me, I felt like I was playing against the defensive coordinator, but I never felt like that until this past year, where I felt like I had to beat the defensive coordinator. And I think that's just what it is. You just got to win your one-on-one. You got to be mentally prepared when it's fourth quarter, when it's triple overtime, us versus Calgary, triple overtime, and it's 30-30, and you just got to make the play. You got to win, and that's just what it is.
I know originally, you know, talking about your early football years before, you know, you got where you're at now in the CFL, originally from L.A., right?
Yeah, Pasadena, California, L.A. area.
Yeah. So I know what was your high school years like for football, because, you know, I'm a New York dude, so football was never a big thing. I know in California, football is big. So what was like kind of like high school for you? How'd you ball out in high school? What led you to get to Eastern Washington?
Right. Yeah. So I went to Bishop Alemany High School in Mission Hills, California, 20 minutes away from Pasadena, where I'm from. And it's a private school, Catholic school. I went there. I played freshman and JV first couple years, won league those, and then finally got on varsity. You know, junior year, we went to the championship game, lost by 3. It was like 12-3 that year. And then my senior year, we went 12-1 and lost to Cody Fajardo's high school. He was gone the year before, but I played, you know, his high school, and they beat us 12-1 to go to the championship. But, you know, I only had 2 offers. I had Eastern Washington and I had Portland State, 2 FCS Division I AA offers. And I went to Eastern Washington. Bo Levi Mitchell was there. He hosted me on my visit and got me to changed my mind from Portland State to come to Eastern Washington, and it was the best decision I made, you know. So I was thankful for that. Went there, followed in Bo's footsteps. You know, Bo won a natty. I didn't win a natty, but, you know, broke a lot of records and everything, and it was a great time up there.
Yeah, man. I'm, you know, going back, looking at your college stats while you're at Eastern Washington, man, you were pretty much up there setting and breaking records. You were a finalist for a Walter Payton Award, which is, I guess, is given to the best player at the FCS level. So after that stellar career you had at Eastern Washington, what kind of led you to get to the University of Oregon to finish out your eligibility?
Yeah, you know, I was going into my senior year. Marcus was too, but Marcus had informed his coaches that he was going to leave for the NFL early. So, you know, Oregon reached out to me and was like, man, we need the dude who we think is the best quarterback available right now. And they came at me, and it was surprising, really. You know, I took my visit. Braylon Addison, he hosted me, former tight catch receiver. He hosted me, and he got me to, you know, make the switch and come over and everything. And we had a great year together as well. But, yeah, that's how that really went there. And hit some records there too, and yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, man. I know we talked about this in the past before. I mean, you pretty much lit it up your year at Oregon. And the guys pretty much almost went to a national championship. Aside, you know, if you didn't, you know, I know you got injured, missed a game or two or something like that. Boy, you know, talk about your pre-draft process. Because, I mean, I know we talked about it before in the past, but You went to the East-West game, balled out. he was getting ready, you know, he was a highly touted, you know, NFL prospect. I remember reading a lot about you in the media. You know, just elaborate on what that prospect was like for you, especially being a quarterback.
Right. You know, the draft process, it was fun, something great to experience, man. Once a lifetime thing. You work hard for it, you deserve it, man. That's awesome. Myself, when it came to that, I was such a, you know, I came from a small school, you know, I'm not really highly recruited or anything like that. So when I was getting all this attention from these agents, and I signed with my agent, he was giving me money every single month, 5 bands a month. Then I had super Oregon fans hitting me up to buy my jerseys and cleats and stuff. And they were giving me, you know, I got like 40,000 cash for like 12 jerseys, some cleats and all this. I know I told you this before, but it's like, but it's like all that was getting to my head. You know what I'm saying? It was all getting into my head. And so I wasn't training. That's what I want to get to. I wasn't training the way I was supposed to be training. I wasn't going hard, doing all the things I was supposed to be doing. I was just partying and spending money and helping out my family and doing some other things like that. And so, you know, when I got to the NFL Combine, I didn't look the part. You know what I'm saying? I'm already a short quarterback. I'm 5'11", you know, 195. You got to at least look the part if you're going to be that short at quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, you got to have the abs and the arms and whatever. I didn't have none of that. So, you know, yeah, they look at you and you're like, yeah, he's not ready. Like, boom, boom, boom. So I didn't run fast either. If you're a short black quarterback, hell, you gotta run fast at least. Like, you gotta do something, like, or accuracy better be on a billion. And so basically, you know, I just wasn't ready. I wasn't performing or preparing myself the way I should have been preparing myself, the way I prepare myself these days. And I didn't get picked up. Went to NFL, Seattle Seahawks mini camp and Washington Redskins mini camp. Didn't make those. Then I went to Montreal after that. And it was funny when I went to Montreal, like you said you were reading up on me. It was funny because, like, the receivers, like Kenny, Deron, SJ, like, when I got there, they was like they believed in me too. Like, they was like, yeah, man, all we need is a QB. Like, let's go. Like, let's go crazy. But right. I've never touched the CFL ball, never seen the field, never nothing. So my first adjustment is different. So my first day of practice, we go throw one-on-ones. My first ball I throw is a corner ball to Kenny Stafford, and he's at slot. So he runs the corner ball to the field. I throw it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this looks good. It skipped to him because I didn't have enough arm strength and nothing. I didn't realize how wide the field was and how far everything was. So I just wasn't prepared. You know, again, I was going off of the talent. I was just saying, man, I'm just talented. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to do all this. I put up all these records at Eastern Washington, Oregon. You know what I'm saying? Just all in my head. Just people gassing me up. Got my people from my city. They see me getting ready for the NFL. So they trying to ride the wave all of a sudden. Like, you know what I'm saying? So everybody's gassing me. Like, and I'm just getting all this attention that I've never got before. So at the end of the day, it was my fault, man. And don't get me wrong, I'm blessed and I love where I'm at right now. I'm still working. Don't get me wrong. I'm still working. So I got one more opportunity to get to my ultimate dream. But, you know, I'm blessed where I'm at. I'm loving where I'm at. And I'm just going to keep working and keep getting better.
For sure, brother. So let's get into the real reason why, you know, I asked you to join me today. Like I said, I started the show. We started a little fire. Position rankings at the CFL. What positions have you already rated publicly that, you know, that I missed out? I only caught the D lineman, so I know I had to throw my
yeah man. So I've only done the QBs and the DNs, and the QBs I did the top 10 with Rob Peterson on his show, and then I did the DNs last week. I did top 15. I know a lot of people say, man, that's a lot. Like, that's damn near all the DNs. I'm like, yeah, I just didn't want to, you know, disrespect.
Leave
nobody out. I'm feeling nobody disrespected. But with the D tackles, though, this time, I'm going to just go top 7. Like, you did top 7 with the DNs. I think I'm just going to go top 7 with the D tackles and go from there. Maybe linebackers next week or something we get.
All right, yeah. So, no. We can make this almost like a bi-weekly thing. You come on every 2 weeks and talk about your brain games and kind of spill it out there. Give the CFL fans some
Give them some content.
CFL news is a little slow.
Yeah, have some fun with it. You know, that's all it is. And me,
that's all it is.
I'm not, and I want to put this out there. I'm not hating on nobody. I don't dislike nobody. I'm just going against who I felt. When I played against them, I felt like they was really a factor, you know what I'm saying? So it might be someone else might be better, you know, that you might think is better or a fan might think is better. But you know, we all got our own opinions. It's all fun and games, man. No difference.
Yeah, that's what I always kind of like to break with people, especially like when we do like, you know, player voting for PA All Stars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You always know, man, it's a little bit of a bias. Players, Jones is judging everything based on how that dude played against you.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to try to get a point to watch everybody play other games and see how they play. So I don't just judge dudes based on how they play when they play me, because I mean, most of the time you're going against Big Bone, that you ain't gonna have to.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, that's what I did with my rankings. I kind of based it off of, you know, film, watching film of them in other games, and then, you know, based off of how I won them and if I had success against them. So, yeah, let's get into it. You wanted to start with D-Tac. Let's hear your top seven D-Tac.
For sure. So, I'm going to go my top seven. I'm going to start at number seven. Again, I'm going to let everybody know who's listening. I do not do anyone for my team in 2019. I don't do none of my teammates, and I don't do any free agents. So it might be some free agents out there that should be on the list or something like that. But I just don't. You know, I just want to stay away from all that. So we all came here for the top seven D tackles, man. Here we go, man. All right. So, David Menard, from BC. He was with BC last year. He's actually on our team this year.
Yeah.
You know, we signed him this year. Man, he was doing his thing down there in the middle. You know what I'm saying? Not as many sacks as everyone else and all that, but hey, he was stout in there, did what he had to do. He sacked me actually once, so. You know, I give him that, but yeah, definitely.
Actually, piggyback on that. I like Menard. I think Menard is not bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I watched film on him, and I was kind of underestimating him. But when we watched the game when he played against us, and when I watched him in the future, I was like, nah, he's doing his job. Like
he plays balls to the wall for sure. Like he plays hard, man. So he always had my respect.
Yeah. Yep, good. Number six, here we go. I got Matt Henry, man, out of Saskatchewan. Let me just get in on this, man. I got Matt Henry at Saskatchewan. I got him there, man, just because each year he's getting better. Like,
yeah,
he's getting better. Like, and if you know his story, like, what everything he's went through and everything, yeah, every fresh out, everything he's been through, all he done was get better. I know this community stuff don't matter with the rankings, but he's a community guy too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he does all this great stuff for the kids and backpack giveaways back to school, things like that. Like, that's good too. But like I said, he's just getting better every year. He's strong as hell in there too. Good run stopper as well. So I just think he's still getting better.
Yeah.
Number five, top five. Here we go. I got Big Ted Laurent. Okay. At number five.
Okay.
He's always, you know, ever since I played him, he's always been a huge run stopper in there. You know what I'm saying? He get in there, get some QB pressures, you know what I'm saying, every now and then. But I just think, yeah, man, I got him right there at number five because, like I said, huge run stopper. You know, can really help out that defense. And I know them dudes is glad that they got him back for that year, for sure. Number four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, yeah. Here we go. We got, what's his name? Cleon Lang. Yeah. We got him right there, man. From Toronto last year. He's in Ottawa now. Man, I know. I think he's been in the league maybe the same amount of time as me, but he's been balling ever since he's been up here.
Cleon's a dog.
Say it again.
He's a dog,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, man. He's been balling ever since he was up here. And yeah, now he's about to go over there, Ottawa. Big dog over there. See what he can do over there. So excited to see what he can do.
Yeah.
Top three. Oh, you know who I forgot too. Okay. Top three. Here we go. My number three, man, I got Micah Johnson.
Okay.
Dude's a beast, man. I know when he was in Calgary and with that whole D line y'all had over there.
Unblockable.
That was nuts. Like he was going crazy. Last year, he had a little bit of a down year.
I know better than anybody.
Yep. You know, it happens. Shit, me too. Shoot. You know what I'm saying? It happens in SAS. I don't know what it is, but it happens.
Yeah.
but he's still a dog, man. He's still a dog. He's probably taking on a lot of double teams, more double teams than a lot of other guys. I remember we had like a 2nd and 1. And we was a must get, like, we need to get this. And if we don't, we quarterback sneaking on 3rd and 1. Man, yeah. He got to the backfield. It was a 3-yard loss. It was like, now we can't even go for it. Now it's a punt, you know what I'm saying? So, and he just got skinny, got through, did his job, and made the play. You know what I'm saying? So, still a dog. Got him at number 3. Number 2, man, I got Armando Sewell, man.
Okay.
Man, dude is just a big body in there, man. Real big body in there. I ain't going to lie. He's hit me the hardest since I've been in professional football. Like,
for sure.
We was in Saskatchewan and we was doing a little cheetah offense and I was running around the corner, kind of trying to get around the corner. He came down the line. I like juke back. And, you know, people say you knock the snot out of people. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knocked the snot out of me, bro. Literally, bow. I'm like, oh, where my towel? Like, man, bro, it was crazy.
Mondo's a brick house, bro. He's probably the strongest D lineman in the league, hands down.
Yes, bro. He's getting pushed every time. Like, every time we did quarterback sneaks, we're like, go away from 90. Go away from 90. Like, wherever he is, we going the opposite. Like,
it's always the opposite. That's always the game plan.
Always the opposite.
Can't go ahead of Armando.
No.
He hard to move.
Yeah, definitely, man. Big body in there. Been doing it for a while, man. He's a great player, man. He's still got it. Last one, man. I don't think that's no surprise to nobody, man. But Dylan Wynn.
Okay.
Man, dude's a baller. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's in there making plays. He's doing the sack. What do you have? 11 sacks at the D tackle position. Like, and you're stopping the run, bro. That helps so much, tremendously. 10 plus sacks, like, from a D tackle, and he's doing all this run stuff. Like, come on, man. That helps a lot. Takes a lot of pressure off the offense, the rest of the defense. You know what I'm saying? Right. You got a playmaker like that. Then the rest of their D line. You know what I'm saying? They got dudes on there too. So.
Yeah, they got a good
deal. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, he's good, man. He's good. So I do got him at number 1. One dude I did want to do a little honorable mention. You know, I don't know if he might be 7/ honorable mention. You know what I'm saying? Drake Nevis. I want to throw him out there.
Okay.
Just because I know, I got that. You know, he big 300-pound dude. You know, still had a really good season and on the Grey Cup team last year. And he run stopping is really what he does. You know what I'm saying? He's sitting there out of that way and throw the O line and he's getting there. You know what I'm saying? So they want to throw him out there too.
Okay. All right. So it's not a bad list. Not a bad list. Could use a little tweaking.
Okay.
A little tweaking. So I'm gonna tell you my top 7. And I'm doing this all this off the top of the head. Knowledge of film. I ain't write nothing down. This is all just based off of just years of playing and playing against and watching dudes.
Okay.
So number 1, I'm gonna go number one. I'm gonna say Mike Moore, because by definition, Mike Moore is a 3-tech. Because he's the 3-tech opposite.
Yeah. See, I put him on my DDNs, but yeah.
But that's the thing. That's why I put Mike Moore number 1, because he can play outside. Mm-hmm. In their defense. when they go three down, or sometimes with subs, they'll put him at end. But by definition, he's a three tech.
Yep, that's fact.
But Mike Moore is probably the best pass rushing defensive tackle in the CFL right now.
Mm.
Like, he's the only D tackle who's ever beat me playing end. Only one. Micah couldn't do it. Wynn couldn't do it. None of them could do it. Mike Moore is the only one that beat me, so I respect, because he's a big body. He's long. He has long arms.
Right.
He can create separation that the sort of guys can't. So, and he's a really good athlete for a dude to sign.
Right. That's what's crazy too. Like, I don't mean to cut you off. That's what's crazy.
Yeah.
And when I was doing the DNs, I had troubles with him because I had to go back. I'm like, didn't he play D tackle too? And that's why I put. I was like, he's versatile. Like, he could play anywhere on the D line.
He could play anywhere on the D line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So by definition, he's a three tech in original structure, three technique. So I'm gonna number one for D tackle.
Okay.
Number two, I'm gonna go Cleon Lang. Only because Cleon Lang is the second best D tackle pass rushing wise. Like, you watch Cleon on film,
mm-hmm.
you put him in a 1-on-1, he's gonna win. He's gonna win hands down. He's not gonna lose. He's gonna win 1-on-1.
He's a dog, yeah.
He's a dog, bro. Every time we play Calgary, he's always giving our guards work. We got some good guards in Calgary. Number three, I'm gonna go Micah. Just cause I know Micah. Micah's a dog. Yeah, he has sass, but I know what he could do. Most years, Micah's gonna be number one D tackle. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna put him number three right now because I know what he could do, and he's still the pass rusher. Micah's a dog too. He's a very good pass rusher. Number four, I'm going to go Mondo. Mondo, longevity-wise, Mondo's been killing it. His big asset is just strength. Mondo just overpowers everybody. That's why no one can stop
him. Yeah.
He don't have a lot of pass rush moves. All he is a bull rusher in a club guy. That's all he does.
He be clubbing, too.
At 17, he hit me with a club, and I blacked out for 3 seconds.
Dang.
I'm not even going to lie. By the time I came to, all I could do was give him a little shove to give KG a chance to get the ball off. Like, that club is dangerous if you let him catch you in the side of the head. Oh, so, but I'm going to go Mondo number four just because he's still doing it. He's still a dog and straight power. You know what you get when you play Mondo. Right. You better be ready. You better be ready for the club.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't ready for it, then that means you wasn't ready to play.
Yeah.
Number five, I'm going to go Ted LaRocque.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, Ted is another one. Ted's a really good defensive tackle. Been doing it real well. He's an SEC guy. Played at Ole Miss, which I didn't even know for a Canadian. That's impressive.
That is, yeah.
So, I'm going to go five, Ted LaRocque. Ted's a dog. He's still doing it in the run. Still doing his pass. The only knock I have with Ted is that his Ted get tired, man. All I do is get Ted winded, and then he kind of disappeared for a
minute. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But when he feeling good or you piss him off, he gonna start hitting you up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then six, I'm going to go Mike Rose from Calgary.
Is that number 98?
No, that was Essex.
No. Oh, yeah, no.
91 or 90. I can't remember.
91. I forget. Y'all did have a nose tackle out there. I forgot what number he was. And he was straight.
90-something. It was 90-something. Yeah. Mike Rose. Mike Rose is a dog. That's why they let Michael walk. So Mike Rose is going to be the next good thing. And Mike Rose, if it comes to Pat, he's really a defensive end. He's like Mike Moore. He's a defensive end playing D-tackle on the NFL.
Yeah.
He's off his body stock and all that. But Mike is really good. So I'm going to go Mike at number six. And at seven, I'm gonna go your boy from Montreal, Woody Barrett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Woody. I mean, the stats don't pop out to you, but when you watch a film, he's somebody that you gotta pay attention to every game because he's gonna make plays, and he's ultra athletic for a D tackle.
Yeah, he is.
He's probably one of the most athletic D tackles in the league. But I like Woody Barrett, and I think his game is phenomenal. I think he's a due for a breakout year to make everybody catch notice. But I know it's kind of hard because it's always Montreal. People sleep on Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had to get him back for sure.
Yeah. So, number seven, I'll go Woody Barrett. That's my top seven.
Okay. I love it. I just got a question. Since we inside the locker room, boom, 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 you don't got Dylan Wynn in there?
Oh, you know what? You're right. You know, I'm gonna replace Dylan. I'm gonna replace Dylan with Mike Rose. I'm gonna put Mike Rose at number 8. Well, Mike Rose is just outside the top
10. Okay.
But yeah, I'm gonna put Dylan at number six. Just not saying that Dylan's not good. Dylan's always been a dog, and I always respected Dylan's game. That's a slack on my part. Dylan, you're my dog. I apologize.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
But yeah, he had a crazy year last year. Our guards always highlighted him whenever we played Toronto. He was in Toronto. He was always a guy that you had to keep an eye on. Very good player. I'm just gonna put him behind the other dudes because they've been doing it a little longer. Dylan don't have the longevity like the rest of them. Outside of Mike Moore, I think him and Mike Moore got the same amount of time. But you know what? Let me backtrack. I'm gonna put Dylan at number 2. I'm gonna put Mike Moore 1, Dylan Wynn 2. 3, I'm gonna go Cleon. 4, I'm gonna go Micah. 5, I'm gonna go Mondo. 6, I'm gonna go Ted, and then 7, I'm gonna have to go with Woody Barrett.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm glad you corrected me. I fixed my face right there. Dylan, my bad. I didn't mean to forget about your brother. You belong in there.
Yeah, man. I was like, dang, you don't even got Dylan. Y'all must have some beef or something.
Nah. I had no beef with Dylan. Okay. I like Dylan.
Okay. He's a good dude. Cool.
I appreciate you taking the time out this morning to come chat with me, man. I know we both got some families to get our day started.
Mm-hmm.
Best of luck to you, man. I know you're working out like a dog. I know you're out there grinding. When the season get up and popping, man, best of luck to you, man. I know you're going to go out there and kill it. And we're going to get you back here in a couple weeks. We're going to talk about another position, maybe, you know, another defense, linebackers and DBs at the same time. But again, I appreciate you coming on, my brother. Stay healthy, stay right, and I'm a holler.
Yes, sir, bro, man. Again, thanks for having me, man. You know, this is always fun, man. Y'all fans out there, don't be getting all mad or whatever. We're just having a good time. That's it. But yeah, man, you stay healthy, man. Good luck with you, with everything in the future. And yeah, man, I'll be on here in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir.
Again, shout out to my boy Vernon Adams for joining me on the show. We're going to try to get him back on here again so we can talk about the next position. Maybe linebackers, maybe DBs, maybe linebackers and DBs, group them together. Who knows? But again, shout out to VA, man. One of the best dudes in the league out there in terms of just people overall. Great family man, great football player. Glad to see him finally get his shot and get his due in Montreal. And if there was a season this year, I know he would have killed it. But when you see him in 2021, I'm pretty sure he's going to light it up. From what he's been tweeting, he's shooting for MOP, and I don't doubt he's going to get it. The man is a bona fide football player. So, again, shout out to my boy VA for joining me. That's going to do it for me here on this episode of Inside from the Locker Room. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Again, I'm going to try to keep pumping out some content for you. Make sure I get some noteworthy, great interviews on here. We ain't got nothing but time and space now. Now that there's no CFL football, we're not sure if the XFL is going to pop up in the spring. But we do have the NFL. Everybody's a fan of the NFL. And a shout out to the guys who are in the CFL who are opting out of contracts. Take a shot at the NFL. Hope that works out for them. I hope the boys get put on. A lot of guys that I know personally very well. And they're hell of a football player. So I hope they do get an opportunity. They got some film from being up in Canada the last couple of years. So hopefully that film transition to something, you know, worthwhile. You know, I think we already had a couple guys sign. Nate Holly, especially. Shout out to Nate Holly. Came up to Calgary, did a hell of a job last season. Excited to see him get his shot in the NFL. Miami seems to love CFL guys. I don't know who the scouting guy is, but he might as well just sign everybody. Just bring us all down to Miami. I guarantee we'll bring NFL championship back down to South Florida. But that's it for me on this episode. Thanks for tuning in. For the loyal people that's always tuning in, thanks for tuning in. If not, make sure you share. Make sure you tell your friends, subscribe, like, all that good stuff. Let's keep getting it out there. Hopefully people get to hear my word and enjoy what I'm saying and putting out there. But, like I said, that's it for me. And in the great words of my brother, Russell Westbrook.
I'm out.